Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Well, in some respects, I'm preaching to the choir today, but why is Pentecost so important? Well, I think to understand that, we need to look at where it came from and what its meaning is. In Greek, Pentecost means 50 days. Penta, 5. Kos, that's the multiple, okay? It's actually a Hebrew festival, all right, known as the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot in Hebrew. It's together with Pesach, which is Hebrew for Passover, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, or tents, the three major festivals, pilgrimages in Israel, during which each adult male was forced and supposed to go to Jerusalem. Remember in the Seders, if you've actually been into a real Jewish Seder, one of the prayers starts with next year in Jerusalem, okay? That's where that comes from, because you're supposed to go to Jerusalem. So in Christ, we still celebrate these feasts, you know, as which the whole of the law is recapitulated. In Matthew 5:15, think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill them. Well, Passover, Pesach, recalls the sacrifice of the lamb whose blood daubed on the doorposts of the Hebrews and delivered them from the 10th plague, okay, which is the killing of the firstborn. And the thing that we don't realize is not only is it the firstborn kids, every firstborn in Israel, including the animals, were killed. Okay? So, in Exodus 4, God's firstborn son was delivered from the death of slavery and began the wilderness, wandering towards Sinai. Okay, now we're talking about Moses. Okay? So in the Passion, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. 1 Corinthians. See how we tie the two together in Christianity. And by the blood of the sacrifice, those who belong to Christ are drawn out of death and into the newness of life. So, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away all the sins of the world, John 1. And who by his resurrection makes all things new. And that's in Revelation 21. So, to Christians, the Passover became the sacrifice of the Mass. Okay? Now, I think there's nothing new for you. I mean, we all know that, but it just doesn't hurt to go over it again. Here's where we find it interesting. Sukkot, known as the Feast of the Booths or Tabernacles, is named for the tents that the Israelites lived in while they were wandering through the desert. You know, one of the things that talks about in the Bible is that the house of the Lord was a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a tent. Okay? Remember during where Jesus reveals himself on top of the mountain, and he's with Peter, John, and James. And Peter says, after he sees Jesus rise in the air with Moses and with Elijah, you know, let's make three tabernacles. So they're going to build three tents for them. But it's important because it's in the tabernacle that God promises the richness of the promised land. So in Christ, God has pitched his tent among us. See how it starts to tie in? And that's in John 1. Has become the pioneer of our faith, Hebrews 2. And as he accompanies the pilgrim people of God in their journey toward the promised land of heaven. So the festival of the tents is important for us because we're not going to Jerusalem and to Israel. We're going to heaven. So that is still there. So then the Feast of Sukkot, whether it's the recapitulation of the Incarnation, the Annunciation, the Nativity, or even a prayer for our former Roman Catholics in here, the Angelus, okay, which is the one about Mary. Okay, those all tie in to Sukkot. Now finally, the last, the Shavuot, celebrates the giving of the law at Sinai. All right, now remember that we view law a little bit differently than the Israelites did, because we believe that we want to, not have to. But yet, we still call that festival, in Hebrew it's Atzeret Pesach, or the gathering of Passover, for it marks the conclusion, or at least an approximation of one, of what began in Exodus. So what happens when we celebrate these, it's coming to the promised land, it's new life, and everything is very good. Genesis 1, we talk about in the beginning, through the completion of the sixth day. And that sixth day is very good, and over which mankind was given the task of exercising dominion over all creation. All right, so what happens is all this ties into our religion. Now, Luke, our reading in the epistle today is from the book of Acts, okay? But it's Acts 2. But in Acts 1, I think there was something that was really important about this. Jesus tells the apostles at the feast of the day of the Ascension, all right? So in other words, it's the morning of the Ascension. This is this day. Jesus hasn't gone to glory. He's with the apostles in the upper room, okay? They're having breakfast, which is that feast. And Jesus says to him, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. By the way, Dean, nice job with all those names this morning.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I had a problem with all of it.
All right, so Jesus puts the place of Pentecost as a part of his ascension into the glory of eternal life in heaven. So Pentecost is the beginning of the ascension. You with me? Okay. Now you're starting to see Pentecost a little bit more important than what we knew. All right, so why the special place for this in our religion? Well, here's where we start getting into the rest of the story our Paul Harvey mentioned. What's the number of perfection in the Bible? There's two of them. Three for the Trinity, and seven. Now stop and think here for a second. Pentecost means 50 days, right? What's the 7 weeks between Easter and Pentecost called? How many days? You got 7 weeks times 7 days equals 49. Seven squared. So it's perfection upon perfection upon perfection. Now that, I bet you didn't know. Okay? So we finish the perfection upon perfection upon perfection with the day of Pentecost. So the important one out of all of this is Pentecost. It's even more important than the Ascension. If you notice, whenever we have our church calendar, it's always the first Sunday after Pentecost, second Sunday after Pentecost. It's not the first Sunday after the Ascension. It's after Pentecost. Because the Pentecost is what's so important. Folks, it's hard for us to understand the concept of numbers to the Jewish people of this time, because it's so important to them. I mean, even in the book of law, what was our first reading from today? The book of Numbers. Numbers are important. We don't look at it that way. They did. So those numbers have a meaning in the Bible. Well, after the Ascension then, the apostles all get up, walk into the upper room, and have lunch. Or it could be dinner. I mean, It could have been lunch and dinner or breakfast and lunch. We don't know. It doesn't tell us that. But we know that that's where the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Jesus told them it's coming earlier that day before he went to heaven. So we're going to look at the importance of Pentecost in three areas today. First of all, a fulfillment. Second, a fire. And third, a filling. Ron and I were talking about the fire of it just this morning. But those three areas I think are important. All right, so first of all, fulfillment. Pentecost is important because it's a fulfillment for every believer to receive power from God. And it's a supernatural power, okay? And this is a power to face every storm, sorrow, and situation that might happen to us in life. So we know we're never alone. Holy Spirit's always with us. Christ knew that these new believers, the apostles, are going to share the New Testament church. Okay, not the Jewish religion, Christian religion. And they would be facing many of those storms, sorrows, and situations. So he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they get the Holy Spirit. Remember in Acts 1, that verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So why is Pentecost important today? Because it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us and fulfills us so that we might face every storm, sorrow, and situation. I mean, look at the coronavirus right now. Is that part of the storm, sorrow, and situations? I think so. But those things happen all the time. All right, let's look at it as fire. Well, Pentecost is important because it's a holy fire which represents the presence of Christ in our life. And then you shall be a witness for me. There's Acts 1 again. Not only do we need that power from the Holy Spirit as we face the storm, sorrows, and situations, but we need the presence of Christ. We need Jesus as our comforter, counselor, and constant companion. Now, what's the other name we use for the Holy Spirit? The Comforter. But yet, Jesus brings us comfort, doesn't he? But yet, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And this is what I think makes a big difference in our hearts, in our home, and in our habits, the way we work with other people. So, those New Testament believers, the apostles and the people that started to follow them, had a fire that made the difference in their witness for Christ. I mean, we start talking about witnessing today, and you'll always think of that corner preacher that's out there just yelling and screaming and all that stuff. Well, he's filled with fire, isn't he? But yet his message is turning people off, not turning them on. And we've all run into people like that. You know, if we're one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord. Sound familiar? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. So if we talk to people, it's not, you know, like berating them, but it's with conviction. That's what the witness is. And it's because of this conviction. Why do you think millions of people came to be followers of Christ in the time of the apostles? You know, it talks about Peter and Paul being in Asia Minor, Galatia, and it says that their message fell to everybody. That's about 4 million people. Two men influenced 4 million people. Well, they didn't do it all themselves, but they talked to somebody who talked to somebody who talked to somebody. Filled with the Holy Spirit, sharing the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay, Pentecost. Number three, a filling. Why is Pentecost important today? Because it's filling us with power. So as we be a testimony for Jesus, we be that witness to others, we're taking that message of salvation of Jesus Christ, every man, woman, and child in the entire world. And that's that Acts 1 again. And to the uttermost part of the earth. Remember in Matthew 28:19, it's, you know, Be ye therefore, go to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the thing I always point out, it doesn't say pastors. It's all y'all. Okay? And that's the thing. It's we are the apostles. We are the witnesses. I had somebody tell me in Texas that this was just the pastor's job. And I says, no, it's not. In fact, it's not the pastor's job at all, except as a Christian. Well, then why do we hire you? Notice the word hire, not call. Okay? And I said, I don't know. I'm here as a representative of Christ. Why are you here? You know, that's one of some of the things that we start getting into, and that's by a person who's considered themselves a really great Christian. You know, so I think that's why it's so important today that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's that filling of the Holy Spirit that enables us to go out and talk about Christ, talk about Jesus. How many of you are embarrassed when you start talking about Jesus? Because you don't know how it's going to be taken. And as I've told you, in all the times I've gone out and talked about Jesus, I think once somebody berated me about it. But when I talk about Jesus, I said, Jesus has been so good to me in my life. He's been my partner. Bev could say, he saved me many times. And then here's my witness. And I bet you could talk about some things like that in your own life. That's my 15-second witness. Is that hard? No. But the thing is, it's taking that Holy Spirit that's in you and laying it out for them. That's how it gets spread. With me? Does that make sense? So, Pentecost is the fulfillment, the fire, and the filling of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds. Well, where's this being seen today? Well, I think right here in our own country. Now, we know how tough things are. You know, we see all these reports about mainline Protestant churches that are losing and dying. African Lutheran churches are sending pastors to the American inner cities to talk about Jesus. Now stop and think about that. Not American pastors, not American churches, African Lutheran churches. In fact, they have training seminaries to send pastors over here. Now stop and think about that for a second. Is the Holy Spirit still working? You know, Thomas Paine said something. That the seeds of liberty must be renewed by the blood of patriots, in common sense. Okay. Could we turn that around and say the salvation of Christ must be communicated by those who believe? Think about that one for a second. Because when they believe, they're putting themselves out there, aren't they? Jesus doesn't ask us to succeed. He asks us to try. Bev mentioned she saw my teeth today. She said, did you break a tooth? Yeah. But every time I try and talk, I start to get a lisp. And I gotta find it. But he asks us to try. But he's asking us to try to bring that message of salvation of the cross to everyone we meet. Jesus is important to all of us, isn't he? I think so. If he wasn't, y'all wouldn't be here today, would you? And I want to thank you all for coming. Let us pray. My dear friends, may this celebration of the 49s of Jesus with us and his ascension into heaven also give us the power of the Holy Spirit to share the meaning of the cross. Amen.